This week's podcast isn't the usual North Louisiana stuff that I've been doing. This one is about something I've always wanted to do, and that's break down a Total Archery Challenge event. This past weekend, I was in Broken Bow, Oklahoma alone, solo, and I got to shoot with some of the best guys on the planet both Friday and Saturday. See, the cool thing about going alone is that it forces you to meet and talk with people that you don't know. And boy, did the heavens align with some great things on the Sitka course on Saturday afternoon. That's where I met G.K. Morrison of Corbin's Archery in Lubbock, Texas. And in just a few minutes, I knew that I had to get that guy on this podcast. Tonight, G.K. and I will be talking everything tack, starting now. So this Antlers and Hicks podcast is going to be a little different. It's not going to be your local stuff like I usually been doing. I got to go to the Total Archery Challenge this past weekend in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. Went out there by myself, and I met some really, really good guys, one of whom I've got on here tonight, Mr. G.K. Morrison. How you doing, G.K.?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Doing good, man. So
good.
Did you make it back to Lubbock okay?
We made it back. We fought the wind the whole way there, or the whole way back to Lubbock, but we made it back in one piece. So
now let me ask you this. Are you sore?
I'm a little sore. My back hurts. I don't know if it's just from moving a whole lot or what the deal is, but I guess I'm getting old. So,
you know, I think, and this is just me, I'm not used to shooting and walking that much. I'm either going to be walking for exercise or I'm going to be just focused on shooting in one place. And I can't help but wonder if that really was a taxing part of the total weekend, you know, just so much walking and so much activity.
So much moving. Yes, sir. I agree. I think it's, especially when we were out there all day like we were. So,
yeah, it was a long Saturday, cuz.
It was.
So, you know, tell us about, you know, one thing I want to know real quick is let's give everybody that's listening a background of you. And then when you finish, I'm going to give them a background of me so they can kind of understand who they're talking to. So you lead off, brother. Tell us who you are.
Well, I'm G.K. Morrison. I grew up in small town West Texas, known as Andrews. I now live in Lubbock with my wife, who's an ER nurse, and I run Corbin's Archery Lubbock. I've grown up around West Texas my whole life. I was very, very fortunate to play college golf in the great state of Louisiana for a couple of years. Played at ULM, Louisiana Monroe, for 2 years. Transferred back home, finished up at Abilene Christian back in West Texas. Was blessed and fortunate to play a little bit of professional golf for about 2 years. Then when COVID struck, kind of decided to put the sticks down and get to work. And one thing led to another, God opened some doors and closed some windows, as they say, and led me to work in a bow shop and work for one that I'm familiar with as far as Corbin's Archery goes, and has led me here to running my own shop here in Lubbock now under Corbin's Archery. And that's what I'm doing. Just nothing but bows and meeting good guys like Greg. So,
and guys, I promise you, we didn't plan this at all. No. I'm from about 20 minutes from the University of Louisiana, Monroe. And when I met GK, I just saw some good dudes that were over there having a good time and, you know, kind of chatted it up with them. And we found that common thread and kind of went with it. And I spent the afternoon with them. And let me tell you, man, when God introduced you to people, he does it for a reason. And I had the best time. I was solo by myself and met you guys. I'm going to tell you guys, I'm an honorary member of the group now. And
absolutely. Yeah. You're one of the boys now, the Bow Bros, as we call it. So you're one of us now.
I'm telling you, I had a great time. So those who don't know me, my name is Greg Hicks. I live in North Louisiana, grown up in North Louisiana my entire life, and did a little outdoor writing. I'm just blessed with the ability to have a conversation and put some stuff down on paper. Did that for a while, wrote for some magazines like Buckmasters, had a lot of stuff in Rack Magazine, Louisiana Sportsman, Mississippi Sportsman, some of the other sportsmen throughout the South, several local publications here in North Louisiana. And I just got burnt out on it because I got tired of telling other people's story. And I started doing this podcast because I would hear, GK, I would hear some of the coolest stories you've ever wanted to hear, firsthand accounts. And I remembered one when I was driving home now this afternoon. There was one guy, he was telling me the story of his deer. I think he killed it in Missouri. I mean, it was a hammer. And this guy's into it, and he's so excited. And then all of a sudden, he starts to panic, like legit panic. He's like, my wife doesn't know. I'm like, what do you mean she doesn't know? I think he had shot at this animal like two or three times or something. Anyway, he went through several arrows And he said, my wife doesn't know how much those arrows and those broadhead cost. I mean, this guy legit got nervous because his old lady was going to read this in the magazine. And I'm like, hey, man, I can edit out. And he said, no, it makes for the story. And I'm like,
that's right.
Okay. So I'm like, man, if people could hear the firsthand accounts of some of these stories, they would love it. And that's kind of where the podcast kind of grew from. So, and like I told you, hey, I wrote that. And look, I always said I'd never write again. You know, I told you the other day, I'm going to write a girl dad article. I got approached by a Louisiana-based ladies magazine to write an article on being a girl dad. I finished it today, submitted it. The lady was super proud of it. So, you know, my kids are kind of pumped. So, you know, we're getting some stuff done, making them
happy. That's awesome. They're proud of you, I'm sure.
Yeah, I hope so, man. That's the overall goal. You know, you just don't want to embarrass the crap out of your kids. So now look, how many total archery challenges have you done?
That one was my second. The same group of guys, minus a cousin of mine, went to our first one last year in Glenwood Springs, and it was actually my bachelor party. I wanted to do something different. I wanted to kind of step outside the box. I introduced a half of those guys into bow hunting. And then of course my dad's the one that got me into it. So I got to bring Wild Bill everywhere I go. So we all hitched up and went to Colorado for a bachelor party to go to TAC, and we shot bows, and then we played some golf, and it was so much fun. We decided we got to make this a yearly trip. And I said, well, I've heard Broken Bow is great, so let's sign up for that one this year. And that's what happened. So
did you guys all sign up as a group, or did y'all sign up kind of individually?
We signed up all as a group. We have a group text going. We're like, whoever can get in first, you know, I think this year they tried out that new registration of just wait times, you know, kind of first come, first serve, get on the list to get your wait time to sign up. And whoever got the quickest time was going to sign everyone up. So,
yeah. And see, I'm not going to lie to you. I got distracted and I was about 30 seconds late and on that registration. And man, it set me back like 45 minutes to an hour. And I'm like, man, it just turned 9 o'clock. And so I didn't know. And I seen where some people had some trouble, you know, as a group getting registered and whatnot like that. And I didn't know how your registration had gone.
No, it went pretty smooth. I was kind of in the same boat you were. I thought as soon as it turned, I think 10 o'clock our time, that I hit, you know, sign up, and I was already 40 minutes back. But luckily, I think Chance or Ty, one of them, got us signed up pretty quick, and we were all ready to go. And luckily, didn't have any issues, which was nice. Smooth sailing. So,
yeah, I got signed up. Everything went well. I did have to make some adjustments because, you know, me being a solo shooter, I knew of a guy that I met, Drew Dutton. He's from Sherman, Texas. Drew and his crew were going to shoot Black Rifle at noon on Friday. And I got Black Rifle also, but it was for later in the day. And I'm like, man, that's not going to quite work out. So I got with TAC. Easy to get along with. They said, we can make the adjustments. I emailed them. They adjusted it. And so Friday I got to shoot with that group that I knew, and things were good. But, you know, overall it was much better than I think last year they tried something, and it just, maybe I'm thinking wrong, but they tried a TAC pass. Did y'all try that out in Colorado?
Yeah, that was last year. Yeah, we had that TAC pass system, I guess, and I preferred this year's over that one. But luckily TAC and the members that work there are so cool that, you know, I emailed them last year because I think we had a couple guys not make it on the course with us. And I was like, okay, like here's what I'm bringing. I'm bringing my group and my, you know, my groomsmen basically with me. Is there a way we can make all of our times be the exact same? Cause I think everyone in except two maybe. And they're really cool and really helpful, but I'm glad they did away with the TAC pass and went to this kind of style setup this year. It seemed to go a lot smoother.
Yeah, it was a whole lot smoother. And I know I talked with Rob a few times with TAC, and I think he was pretty stressed by the end of some of these registrations because, you know, some things didn't quite go as planned. But, you know, that always makes for a great story, though. I know they're tired of it, but at the end of the day, they can look back and laugh at some of the things I'm sure that happened.
Oh, for sure.
So once you guys got registered, you drove up to Broken Bow Saturday or Friday night?
We drove up Friday afternoon. I'd open the shop Friday morning and then kind of get on the road. And we all made it down there Friday evening and just kind of hung out and caught up. You know, I don't see these guys every day since we live kind of in different parts of Texas, but it's good to catch up and just kind of relax after a 7.5 hour drive.
So. Man, I'm telling you, you know, I drove to Tennessee in 21 for the shoot, and that drive, that it's just that long in a vehicle, you don't want to jump out and go to slinging. You know, you want to kind of rest yourself a little bit because it can be pretty, you know, people don't think much of riding, but hey, that can wear you out, especially if you're going to be going to an event like TAC. So
for sure.
So your first day, tell us about your first course you guys shot.
So we did the Hoyt course, which was, I believe on the TAC website, it's supposed to be 40 to 100 yards. With different, I think, Western game animals, maybe, or just different game animals in general. So we did the Hoyt at about 8 o'clock, and it was a good course as far as challenging with some angles and some, I guess, obstacles in the way. That Saturday morning, I think you were out there as well on a different course, but the wind was kind of getting it that Saturday morning, and so that was making things challenging. I think with the rain, the course was kind of limited to, I think, the further shot being like 80 something yards, but it was, I would call it a really good test of everything, you know, your sight, your equipment, arrows, kind of the whole 9 yards. And, add, you know, 15 mile an hour winds into it, it can play a big role in affecting that arrow. So, but overall, really good course. I think it's the first year they did the Hoyt course, or maybe they just renamed it, but it was solid.
Yeah, I didn't shoot the Hoyt my first day. My first day was actually Friday. Got there at noon. And I will tell anybody, and you can probably attest to this, if you have a knock time, you need to probably get there an hour to an hour and a half, and maybe even 2 hours ahead of that, just for parking and getting checked in. I bet I had to walk close to almost 2 miles to get just to home base, because I drove up at 11:30, knock time at 12. Hey, and at 11:50, I'm almost in a sprint trying to get there,
catch the shuttle.
Yeah. Yeah. And as I was walking in, I saw Drew and his crew walking out. They were going on the course, and I said, hey, you guys go ahead, I'll catch up with you. And sure enough, I caught up with them within like two targets. But like you said, when I got there Friday, it had just stopped raining. And it was overcast, the wind had started to blow, and we did black rifle. And I will tell you, it was the most physically challenging of the three courses that I shot this past weekend. It was a lot of up and down. And I'm a flatlander, man. I'm from North Louisiana, so we don't hit the hills too hard. But, you know, I call myself trying to, you know, be active, man. I put a 40-pound ruck pack together, and I ruck on, about 2 or 3 days a week. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I got it, man. My rear end was sore, cuz. I mean, that dude
it'll wear you out.
Yeah, those heels will. And the wind was pretty rough. But I'm going to be honest with you. Overall, with what the TAC crew had to work with terrain-wise because of the lake being up and whatnot like that, I think these guys did an outstanding job. They set these targets up great. And it was a great event on Friday, the first shoot. And I know your first day was a great event. But that wind was something. That wind was pretty tough.
It can play a role for sure. I mean, used to it out here in West Texas, but not with obstacles in the way like trees. And then plus all the hiking, you know, I'm right there with you. We don't have any hills or anything here. We're flat as it gets in West Texas. So, and like you said about TAC, I mean, they always do a great job, but I felt this year, especially with weather conditions and, you know, with that whole state park, I mean, they have to work around a lot of obstacles just to get that set up for 5 or 6 courses and for, you know, however many hundreds of people there were out there. So they did a fantastic job of getting all that set up and making it such a laid back and good time. I mean, that's why I think I love TAC besides the archery side is all the camaraderie and just so many laid back people. You can just go around and talk to anyone and they got a smile on their face. They're at TAC. They're having a great time. And I think that's what it's all about.
Yeah, agreed. 100% agreed. Now, you know, I didn't know until I got to talking to you and carrying on. You a YouTube star, man. I mean, you and Corbin's Archery have a ton of followers on YouTube, and so I've been looking. I got to be honest with you. I YouTube stalked you guys. Outstanding content, man. You guys have some good stuff. So gear wise. What did the first day show you? Did anything kind of like cross your mind? Like, okay, well, this isn't working out like I expected. Or was it, did you, your setup? Because I know you set up for TAC. Did it set up like you expected?
I would say so. I was trying. So to be completely honest, I've shot nothing but Matthews pretty much my entire life. So this TAC was the first time I had a Hoyt in my hand. And, you know, Hoyt rep sent that to us. And he's like, yeah, give that a try. And, you know, I like I like everything that feels good. I don't care if it has whatever name, great value on it. It doesn't matter to me. You can put whatever brand you want on it. I'm going to shoot it as long as it feels good. You know,
that man said great value,
great value. We're going with that bottom shelf at Walmart stuff.
You know? Yes, sir.
No, the bow was great. You know, and we say this in the shop too, shoot whatever makes you happy. It doesn't matter what brand it is, shoot what feels good to you and go with that. So I was really impressed with the bow. As far as gear wise go, I was trying out some different things. You know, we're big on marsupial gear as far as the vinyl harness goes. Love that. It felt like it was what's the best way to put this? Less bulky pack I've ever worn as far as vinyl harnesses go, and I carry big 12 by 50s in that pack, so I felt really, really slim as far as nothing in my way. And that's really all the really new gear I was trying out. I have some On Clouds, you know, like the On running tennis shoes.
I run a pair of On Clouds, bro. They on my right. Feet. Like, I'm about to kick off these Thoroughgoods and put my On Clouds on and go work out, but you
exactly
know, they are. And I was going to ask you about that. How did that work out for you?
So I found those boots at Nordstrom Rack of all places. My wife dragged me in there and, you know, I found these boots. I think they're normally $250. I found them for like $115 brand new, these On Cloud boots. And I was like, I'm going to try these out. Like, they're water resistant. They're comfy. You know, I didn't put my sheet feet insoles in them that I run on my Crispies normally, but I was like, I'm going to give these an honest fair trial at TAC and see what, and I was thoroughly, thoroughly impressed with them because no one thinks of them as a hiking boot company, so to speak, but I was impressed. My feet never really hurt until like the last hour of the Sitka course, which we were out there for, you know, 5 hours. So being out there all day on my feet, I was really impressed with the boots. And the last piece of gear I actually tried was going to the Ultra View button, which is their new, you know, their new stainless button they came out with. And to me, you know, I've switched between wrist strap releases and thumb buttons and play with some hinges and all that. And that Ultra View button seems to be the most crisp thumb button out there, and I like that you can change the thumb position and really settle in there and actually pull through that shot and let that shot surprise you. And I mean, it really improved my shooting, so I'm a huge fan of that. So
I can honestly tell you that I watched your form the entire thing, because that was the first thing I really noticed when you shot was your follow through. And if you watch anybody, like watch Dudley, you can watch any of them. The guys that do it the best and the most consistently have that follow through. That follow through to where their draw arm, their draw hand just kind of floats back. Yours did that exact thing, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that was something that I was curious about: is how hard do you practice and how focused are you on that? And it sounds like that release really helped out with that aspect at all. I mean, together.
It did, and you know that's one of the great things I would say about having such a big media presence that Corbin has built. He's done a great job building up his Instagram page and his YouTube. I joined late in the game as far as getting to that. And, you know, we have an awesome a media team and Corbin himself making that page what it is. And I'm thankful to be on it and giving some tips, but getting to watch people do something right. I'm a visual learner. So watching them do it, I then took to the range. I would shoot, we call blank villain. It's about 5 yards away. I'd literally go in there on a slow day at work or stay late after work and have that thumb button and close my eyes and shoot, you know, at this big target from 5 yards away and literally just feel that hand pulling through that button to where the shot surprised me instead of slapping it and punching that trigger. So 3 days straight of not shooting an arrow with my eyes open from, you know, 5 yards or less, just getting that feel and that muscle memory down. I mean, it is something I probably will not ever go away from now that I've learned how to use it properly. And it was kind of a test seeing how good it actually worked on a target. You know, anyone can shoot indoors at a blank bell, but as soon as you get out there with some wind and some elevation and, you know, some other redheaded guy watching you know, you gotta execute. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Hey, we're from the motherland, man. That's what I tell. Right. Hey, my dad heard my GPS the other day. I got my GPS set up with an Irish accent. He looked at me, he said, "What is that?" And I said, "That's my native tongue, Daddy."
That's my native tongue.
There's no place like home on Lake Darbonne, and nobody knows this better than Union Parish native Joe Booth with Booth Realty. Joe has been serving real estate clients in North Louisiana since 1998 and will work tirelessly to help you buy or sell your property. Trust me, I can't tell you how many fishing trips I've been on with Joe where, when the phone rings, the fishing stops. He's also lived on Lake Darbonne for 23 years and will put you in the best place to meet your needs around the lake. Call him today at 318 548-3185 and let Joe Booth guide you home. So
there you go.
That's right. That's right. So we got done with, you got done with that, with the Hoyt course. And then we, that's when I met you. And I'm going to talk about, since we both shot UltraView, we'll save that one for last, but I met you on going towards the Sitka course. We got on the boat. And I'll be honest with you. The first thing that I really liked about your crew was Bill. I was like, man, he's just a good dude, man. He's just hanging out. Now, folks, to put it in perspective, these guys, how old are y'all, GK?
Mid-30s? We all range. No, youngest is 20. I guess I'm the youngest in that group, 27, and the oldest would be 31.
Okay, I got that. And then there's Bill.
And then there's Bill, who's 57. Yes, or Wild Bill.
Wild Bill was just hanging. I'm like, this is an interesting, this is an eclectic group. And so I kind of, you know, I had to get my gear together, and you guys were probably about to last off. And, like I said before, God just put us together and had a great shoot. You know, one thing about that, the Sitka that I noticed right off the jump was, man, that wind was a booger bear that afternoon, that Saturday afternoon.
It was, yeah, that it was white-capping when we got on that boat, you know, headed across that island where the Sitka course was. And it was, I was like, this is going to be tough, because Sitka has that reputation of being one of the toughest courses. And I was like, uh-oh, this is, I might need to go back to the truck where I get some more arrows. But, yeah, very, very breezy day up there on the water.
Yeah, and see, I shot Sitka last year, and I had a concern going into it this year. And that is the shale that is around the island edge. And I told everybody, like, man, if you know, be careful. That water was up so much that you couldn't even see it. I mean, I think the guy on the boat told us it was up like 20 feet. I mean, 14 to 20 feet in spots. And you're just like, I mean, I was looking at the Sitka course, and I told one of the guys that was with us, I said, yeah, we walked right across there last year and got on that other island. He was like, right through there? I'm like, yeah. I said, you see them little sticks? He's like, yes, that's top of trees. That's where we were walking.
Top of trees.
Yeah. So the water was up significantly. But there again, the crew worked diligently and got us 25 shot opportunities on that island. And I noticed that at the end, they were kind of running out of real estate. So you would shoot towards the water, retrieve your arrow, walk back up the hill, and then shoot back towards the water, and then walk back up the hill. So they were kind of running out of real estate, but they still made it physically challenging and a whole lot of fun in that same aspect. And the one shot that I really was impressed with your form on, sir, was the one where we had to sit down. You remember that one?
Oh yeah, I do remember that one. That one was fun.
Yeah, that one was different. You know, folks, they had to set up to where if you stood up, you know, you had some overhead branches and whatnot in the way. But you had to sit down and you had to twist. I mean, it really kind of put your upper torso in a bind a little bit. But, you know, that practice that GK did, and he's got it on his Instagram. They got a video of it. I mean, it's great shot and a great form. So, yeah, I'm going to have to check out that button that you're talking about, that UltraView button. That sounds like the ticket for sure.
I think they hit it. I mean, there's so much good technology inside, and that's why thumb buttons are so expensive. For those out there wondering, when they see the difference between wrist straps and your thumb buttons, there's so much more technology that goes involved to get that click and to get that thumb button to work properly, is all that technology inside. But what I love about UltraView specifically, you can change that thumb position. Cause I mean, my hand's different than your hand and Bill's hand, then you name it. And wherever that thumb position is, you can adjust where that peg is and get it to fit exactly your hand. But then also you can change the trigger, you know, how much force and how much travel is on there. So if you like, you know, real cold release, as we call it, where it takes a lot more tension, a lot more pressure to set it off, you can change it to fit you. If you're like me and like a little bit hot, you can go that route. So a lot of good thumb buttons out there. I really, really love the new UltraView button they came out with earlier this year. I mean, I think it's helped me get a lot better. And like I said, I don't think I'll go away from it.
Yeah. Yeah. I can understand that totally. Now let's talk about the UltraView course. Now you guys shot that Sunday morning, right?
Just me and Josh did. Everyone else got back, got up and went home. They had to get to work today and on Monday. And so it was just me and Josh out there. But yeah, we got out there Sunday morning early. It was dead calm. I mean, the lake was glass. It was a gorgeous morning. We're trying to make it to that sunrise church service, but we got there at about 7:10-ish, and we parked, you know, probably I'd say half a mile away. So we were trying to run to get to the shuttle just in time to get to the course. So we missed that sunrise church service, but got to the course, and I thought it was a great course. You know, it's brand new to TAC this year, 15 targets. And I think they called it technical shots from 30 to 70 yards. But I really, really enjoyed it. Enjoyed the aspect of some obstacles being in the way. And, you know, I was telling my dad about it, you know, on the car ride back. And I said, it wasn't that it was that tough, but it's one of those that you had to stay focused 100% of the time. And then you had to execute. I mean, there was no really room for error. But I think execution was the main thing there.
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought too. You know, the targets, and I don't know if you realized this like I did, but you know, you look at a target, you shoot at it, and when you walk up to it, that's when you realize just how small those targets really are. You know, there's a squirrel.
Oh, absolutely.
There was a squirrel that, you know, I walked up and I glassed it and I'm like, okay, it's a squirrel, and shot it. And I go down there and I'm like, man, that's not much bigger than a normal squirrel. I mean, it was a small target, but like you said, it's one of those to where the distance wasn't, you know, too terribly far out. But it still had that technical aspect to it, to where you really had to focus on what you were doing to be successful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I really enjoyed that course. I shot that one Saturday morning. I think I rode the shuttle. Everybody was going to Hoyt, and me and a group, I think it was, I can't remember if they were from Missouri or from New Mexico, but it was a dad and the mom, and I think it was two or three daughters. And I mean, I think all of them except one, the littlest one, had a bow. And we chatted, and he said, hey, man, we're going to be slow. You might as well walk through. So I walked through and shot a few, and I walked up on another group, and they were great. And they let me walk through. And I finally, at the last, I think it was shot 10, I walked up on another crew, and I'm like, man, I got five more to go. I might as well just hang out with these guys. I did. And we had a great visit, you know, good talk. I believe they were from the Texas area as well. And,
awesome,
you know, a lot of Texas people out there this past weekend, a lot of good people. But the Ultra View, I really liked it. I feel like one thing I wish I would have been able to do, I didn't get a chance to stretch it out. I wanted to stretch. It's kind of like,
right.
I got this nice bow. I got this Spot Hog sight. I want to dial it out, man. Let's see what
I
we can
to
do.
Launch some bombs.
Heck yeah,
let's
man.
Send one out there.
It's like having a Mustang GT or a Hellcat. And you're doing the speed limit. I mean, come
right.
on, Willie. But, you know, that's I'm sure that was in the plan. The terrain, I'm sure, kind of put a damper on that a little bit. But
I think so.
You know, it was good. And I'll tell you this. You know, I told you I wanted to talk about some gear. You're more gear knowledgeable than I am. But there was something that stood out to me this past week that, I mean, I'm sold on them, and that's Victory Arrows. And and folks, I want you to understand, I don't take sponsorship from any of this podcast at all. I don't know Victory Arrows from a hole in the ground, but I can tell you right now, I saw on Friday, one of the guys was shooting with us. He's been shooting a month, GK. He's been shooting a month, and he was shooting TAC. I think with us, he lost three arrows on Black Rifle.
Wow.
And I mean, the guy was doing good. He had Victory Arrows. I think he missed a couple targets, and one of his arrows took a beating and was still, I mean, it was great. And finally he said, you know what, I'm putting this one up. And I think he shot two or three targets, and I think he missed it twice, missed a target twice, picked the arrow up, it looked good, shot, kept shooting, and then he was finally like, you know what, I think I'm going to put this one up. But I honestly believe that arrow was fine. He could have kept shooting it. They seem to be a very, very tough arrow. Have you got a lot of experience with Victory?
So that's one of our best sellers. I mean, we, as a bow shop, you know, in Seminole here in Lubbock, we primarily carry just Victory and Easton. We do a lot of Victories, and we personally believe that, you know, shoot whatever you want kind of deal, but we believe that the Victory makes an all-around great shaft, up there with, you know, one of the best, I would say. And I believe they're so tough just because most Victories, as far as, you know, from the mid price point all the way up to their high dollar arrow shafts, are going to come with an exclusive shock insert, is what they call it. And basically this insert doesn't go directly into the shaft. The threaded parts do, where you screw in your practice tip or your broadhead. But there's a collar, like an aluminum, where you can get even a stainless steel collar to go around that front end of that arrow. So helps with, you know, the FOC, that weight on the front end of the shaft, helps with penetration, also helps with protecting that blunt impact on the front end of that arrow. And that's why I believe they're one of the more tougher shafts, is just because of that shock itself, that shock insert. So,
well, it showed me something this past week, and I've got, you know, I shoot Eastons, and but I needed a few more because I was just, you know, I wanted to have plenty. And the guy at my local bow shop, he's like, here, try these. Well, he said, we got to get you swapped over to carbon because I shoot full metal jackets. I always have. You know how people are. Right. They just get sold on something. And and I'll be honest with you, I like the way the arrow flies. I didn't have time to adjust my sight tape for the carbon, because even though they were the same grain, they still fly a little different, especially at, you know, longer yardages. So I was like, okay, well, if I have to shoot past where I'm comfortable, I'm going to sling those victories. But I will get dialed in to those victories. I'm going to buy some more, and that's going to be my arrow, because that's just – it impressed me, man. Very, very impressive.
Oh, they're awesome. Just with flight itself, the way they – you know, they spine line every arrow. So I think that's the time that goes into that, making the shafts and making them perfect. That's a big deal. Cause I mean, the arrow is the most important part, you know, that's what's flying. And, you know, you won't skimp out on an arrow. If that's what you're shooting with, in my opinion. So that's where the focus needs to be. And they provide one of the best shafts on the market for sure.
Yeah. And hey, you know, I don't want to get away from Oklahoma, because we're going to talk just real quick about San Antonio. But I know you guys are going to go out there when it hits. But the vendors this past weekend, man, that was great. If there's vendors out there that are listening to this, I want to thank you, because
for sure,
you gave us a lot of stuff to look at, put hands on, I mean, just all kind of stuff. And so if you're supporting TAC, you were out there as a vendor this past weekend, man, you guys did a great job, even down to the food trucks, because trust me, absolutely, I've been to TACs before where there wasn't a food truck in sight, man. So thank you, everybody that was out there. You made this a great weekend. I think I saw more young people this past weekend than I have in the last two. And that's a great thing to see. That means it's growing, and it's growing for the younger generations. And that's outstanding to see.
Absolutely.
So you guys, tell me, how far are y'all from San Antonio?
So up here in Lubbock, I think we're about five or six hours from San Antonio. So it'll be a little bit of a trip. I used to live right there just north of the rim, so I kind of wish I was living right there. So it would just be about a 10-minute drive, but yeah, we'll be all right. We'll make it work.
So tell us how it will, and your, I guess. I mean, I know you haven't probably walked you haven't been out there, but what are you expecting to see terrain-wise?
I'm expecting to see that classic Central Texas hill country, in my thoughts. Old rocks, a lot of thick, you know, mesquite and oak tree, kind of bushy cover, with obviously some cactus, and depending on the heat, might see a few rattlesnakes, but maybe not. Maybe it'll be early enough this year where they're still hidden. But yeah, it's, that hill country is so beautiful, especially around San Antonio, Kerrville, that whole Central Texas area, especially right in the, you know, kind of towards the end of spring, start of summer, it's getting really green and beautiful. And I just love the combination of the, you know, the oak trees, mesquite trees, and a little bit of cactus, kind of feel like you're out in the desert. But then again, there's some trees for some nice shade. So expecting some thick, bushy shots. I'm not expecting a whole lot of terrain, you know, elevation change. But definitely some obstacles as far as bushes or rocks or cactus and some thick cover for sure.
Are you going to change anything gear wise?
Or
try anything different, I should say?
I don't think so at this point. I might dabble with a sight change maybe. And, you know, I run the black gold right now. I wanted to go to the HHA for Oklahoma TAC just to try it out. We do a lot of HHAs, and I really like their sight design. I've shot spot hog my whole life, so going to black gold was a big jump. And now that I, you know, I'm at an archery shop, you know, I have a lot of sights I can play with and test out and give an honest review about. And so I might change sights, but other than that, you know, still going to rock the Hoyt, and then maybe bring, you know, Matthews as a backup if I decide to shoot another course, just to shoot something different. And other than that, might not change a thing. Probably be wearing some shorts instead of pants, but that's about it.
Yeah, you know, it was a toss-up for me, because I've been to Tennessee and I've been to Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want to do something different. And, man, I had my sights on San Antonio so bad. But I backed out. And I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, we may have a MC Bass tournaments, and we may have a big tournament that weekend. That may have been a determining factor.
Right.
But I really, really want to get out there. Because like I told you guys, when it's all said and done and I retire, and if my girls aren't around here, if they've, you know, got their lives going somewhere else, I may just retire to that Texas Hill Country because I absolutely love it out there. It is so beautiful. And it's just... It's something that, you know, you read about in Western books and you see on TV, but until you get out there and put your feet on the ground and get to breathe in some of that air, it's something you just, words can barely describe it. It's beautiful.
It is. It's, you know, the hill country, like out in the country, is something very special. And there's so much you can do and so much awesome wild game. You know, they're overrun with axes down there, and that's something that is, you know, so special to us Texas people now who have come to love it and enjoy it. And they're, one, they're so pretty to look at, but they're so darn good as far as meat goes. And best part is they're an exotic. So you can hunt them year round in the state of Texas with anything, even spotlight them. You can do it all. So it's pretty awesome. It's just a really pretty area, and everyone there's so laid back. You know, it's your kind of people for sure.
Yeah. And I'll tell you this, you know, we're talking about San Antonio, but I don't want to take anything away from Tennessee. I shot the Tennessee course in 2021. And I will tell you that right there. And to me, and this, I'm not taking anything away from Oklahoma. I'm not, I promise you. It's an 8-hour drive for me to Tennessee. And that's why I didn't go back this year. But as far as scenery, one of the most beautiful pieces of country I've ever seen in my life. I mean, you've got the oak bluffs like we saw today, you know, or this past weekend, beautiful oaks and pine mixture, and it was great. But you'd be standing, I'll never forget one shot. The sun was going through the trees. You could see the rays, and I'm standing right next to a straight-up rock wall cliff. I mean, it's gorgeous. And you stand there, and you want to take it in for a few minutes, man, because it's just one of those, like me, I don't get to see that kind of stuff every day. And that was a physically, the whole course, every course was a physically challenging up and down. And that was where my knees started bothering me because, man, that up and down was rough. But they have one shoot, and that one shoot, that one target is what caused me to drive 8 hours. And that's where you shoot and next to that waterfall. And
oh, that's awesome.
It was gorgeous. So any of you guys going to Tennessee this year, I'm envious of you. Want to see plenty of pictures because that is, oh, man, it's so beautiful. And I want to, you know, I guess before I'm too old to get around, I want to make a stop at every tack that we can, you know, especially the ones way out west. I want to get up in Utah. I want to get in Colorado, South Dakota, all of those because it's just – you know, it's just people like us, man. We're just out there shooting arrows and having a good time.
Absolutely. That Sunday when me and Josh shot that ultra view, we kind of got backed up towards the last five or six targets, and we had an older gentleman join us. And he's from West Virginia, and he drove all the way to the Broken Bow to shoot, and we got to talking. You know, super good guy, and asked him, you know, how many tacks have we done? You know, is this his first? And he's been to 32 total archery challenges.
Wow.
And the only ones he has not done is the one in, I think, Vermont and the San Antonio one. And he highly praised the Tennessee shoot and emphasized that you got to get up to Big Sky in Utah for sure. And that's what I've heard was from everyone is Tennessee and then the two up there in Utah and Montana. Got to get to those. So that's a... We're going to try to make this a yearly thing with my group as well and try to get a plan going. And now you're throwing into those plans as well, Greg. So we got to get that plan going and when we're going. So.
That's right. I was going to say, man, don't say your group. Say our group because yeah, I'm in a member of the group. I'm in the Bro Bros now.
There you go. That's right.
Well, brother, give us a real quick, give the guys a listen to our idea where they can see your social media content. Because like I'm telling you guys, I've been social media stalking these guys, and Corbin's Archery is legit. You got to look at them. Give us an idea where you're at.
So if you go on Instagram, if you do all that, you can go to, just type in Corbin's Archery. You'll see our red and black KA logo on there. That's the main page. That's the big daddy page that Corbin runs himself. And that's the one that's basically focused around the Seminole shop. We have a secondary page that you can reach out to me. That's the one I run. It's just Corbin's Archery Lubbock. We're on Instagram there. We get a lot of posting into us. We love it when people tag us and just shoot us questions and respond to our stories. And we do something that's That's pretty awesome. In my opinion, it's called Freebie Friday. Corbin's a really energetic guy. He has a lot of energy in the mornings, I've noticed. And he gets there on Freebie Friday. He's screaming at the phone. And we basically get with, a manufacturer, distributor, and give away something, get somebody entered in a giveaway. And it could be, I don't know, you name it, a free set of strings or a dozen arrows or a Kafaru little pack. It really just depends on week to week what we're doing. But we do a Freebie Friday, and that's a really big deal. And then as far as like tips and stuff go, we run a YouTube page. Corbin has set this up. Like I said, I piggybacked onto this, and he's made this social media presence known, I guess, as far as in the US. We have an awesome YouTube page now. We're trying to get more subscribers. And we just do videos. I do product reviews. We have a media guy here in Lubbock who comes to the shop and films, and we do bow reviews, speed tests. We do silly things like shoot broadheads through plywood just to see what'll happen, also do a lot of product reviews, a lot of tips, a lot of shorts. We'd like to be involved with our supporters and our customers just to put content out there, and then definitely get the feedback on what people like to see. So, YouTube, you just got to go to just type in Corbin's Archery Shop. It'll pull up. You can subscribe there. And we try to post, a couple videos every other week and get some fun stuff on there, as well as some good helpful tips and good products and stuff that we like and what we find beneficial and helpful. And then on the Instagram side, it's just Corbin's Archery on Instagram, and give us a follow and all that good stuff.
And guys, if you want to do me a solid, just for grins, when you go into the Lubbock store, find GK and say, "Hey man, I heard you on that podcast," and that'll make me feel good. GK's gonna say, "Hey man, I got people coming in." That'll make me feel good, man, because
that's what it's all about. Yes, I want
to, I love talking to you, man. You and I can talk. And it is so good. And, we had that conversation started out. It's on the Sitka course. And I was like, I got to get this guy on the podcast because he knows his stuff. Folks, if you want to get in with somebody around that Lubbock area, it's worth at least an hour drive to go talk to this guy, get him to look at your bow, get you set up, and just shoot the bull with him, because he's a good dude, if you can't already tell.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, it was a huge blessing. And we chatted, we went out to dinner after we shot with you Saturday, and then we went back to the house to kind of clean up and then just kind of enjoy our last full night with the guys. And that's all we talked about, was how cool Greg was and how you fit so well in our group. And we love being around you. And I'm pretty blessed and thankful you asked me to get on this podcast with you. It's an honor. And if anyone comes by the shop, please give Greg a shout out for his podcast. I know when this goes live and goes on the air, we're going to be blowing it up all over our social media and getting the word out there about your awesome podcast as well. And I'm still going to hit you up about that hat. I need that hat.
Hey, I'm looking at it right now, man. It's right here on my counter. I've already pulled it out. All I got to get is your name, your address, and it's coming. I promise you, it's coming.
There we go. Heck yeah, man.
All right, dude. Well, hey, man, I appreciate you taking time out tonight. Come on here and let's break down tack on Oklahoma. And good luck out there on San Antonio. Who knows? We may get on here and start talking about that one in a few weeks. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds good. You just let me know whenever you need something. And that goes for anyone out there. If they need something, just holler at me. We're easy going. And Greg, if you got my number, if you need me, just holler. We'll miss you at San Antonio, but there'll be many, many more tacks. And I see a lot of hunts coming our way together.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, thank you, brother. We'll talk at you later.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Dude, that was good, man.
Thanks, man. That was awesome.
I hope you guys really enjoyed this one. GK and the rest of the Bow Bros and the guys that I got to shoot with on Friday, Drew Dutton and his crew, really made the TAC event extremely special for me. And I guess that's what TAC is truly about, bringing together people from different areas and different backgrounds that have one common thread, the love of archery. Head on over to the Antlers and Hicks Facebook page for some of our merchandise. That hat that GK referenced is the Tiger Stripe snapback that we have, and it's definitely becoming one of my favorites. My name is Greg Hicks. This is the Antlers and Hicks podcast. And as always, I'm going to encourage you guys to live your life past 20 yards. We'll see you next time.